So, we've got a lot to get to today, and we're going to honor our veterans as we do it. Let's rock this puppy. So, what are the odds Wednesday on the Blitz?
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, put your comments on visitor posts, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Wednesday where we do everything a lot differently today. Well, not really a lot differently, but when you call.
Totally, completely differently.
Well, when you call or when you text or, you know, however you communicate, Morse code, if you Morse code us.
Yep.
Put odds on it.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. What are the odds? Like, technically, it's percentages. We know that if you're new to the show, we're not stupid. Well, we might be, but not about that. Just what are the percentages sound stupid?
Right.
So, what are the odds Wednesday? What are the odds are going to have a fun show today?
I'm going to go percent. No, not 1,000. I'll go 92%.
I feel pretty good about that 92% number. First off, got to start the show by saying Happy Veterans Day to everyone and take a minute to thank everyone who has served our country, including A.J. Hoffman. And as a matter of fact, I went to the Veterans Day Parade today downtown, which was very cool, and got a chance to applaud a lot of people who risk their lives to serve our country, the greatest country in the history of the universe, and very proud to just very proud of all you guys and can't thank you enough. And I have one thing, though, that I have to bring up, and it didn't even make me mad. It just kind of makes me sad for some of the people in our society. You know, I always talk about we have 95% listeners are awesome,
right?
5% are awful. I think in real life, it's probably about 90% because, you know, we have great listeners. But I think in real life, there's about 90% good people and about 10% that are just turds.
Okay.
Well, and it didn't even make me mad. It just made me feel like, gosh, people are such a mess. But we're sitting there at the corner watching the parade, and it's right around lunchtime downtown. So, of course, you got all these corporate people who are trying to go to lunch, and they're crossing the street in front of the parade in between stuff. And the cop was trying to stop them. They just like, oh, no, I'm going across the street. When all they had to do was go downstairs and go in the tunnel.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of, they were so oblivious to what was going on around them. And there's this one girl, and this happened right in front of the paralyzed veterans, which really, I'm just going, are you that clueless, lady? And this girl's on her phone, and she rushes across the street in front of them. It's like, is it so important that you text Kayla to tell you you're going to be late for Chick-fil-A that you can't take a second to stop and appreciate these guys? It usually that's the kind of thing that would make me mad enough to where I want a dart gun where I could poison it and they walk across the street and boom, they get the HIV. But in this case, it just made me feel sad for people if they don't realize that just stop for a minute and say thank you. You know, that it's that 10%, man.
You're so salty sometimes.
You
know, people are going to do dumb things.
No, but I know, but you know, and it was like 20 people out of the thousands that were there. But that's 20. Yeah. That's 20 people that. Well, that was on my street corner. It probably happened on the other ones too.
I'm sure it happened everywhere.
But I just got to say, it disappointed me because it was a really cool event and it got a chance to honor some people who served our country. And I want to thank everybody who went and everybody who took part in that because it was very cool. But for those,
I didn't do that.
For those of you who, well, you did enough. You've done enough.
I've done enough. I should get the day off today, John.
You should.
What am I doing here?
But thanks to you and thanks to all my friends who served, the Whitmire boys and everybody else that I went to school with that served. You know, you guys are the best.
I like today because I get to catch up I end up catching up with a lot of the guys that I served with, which is kind of cool for me. And then you also get a lot of free food and stuff, which is kind of cool.
And beer.
But you have to wait on it. Mm. Like, that's the tough part is, like, it. You know, we My wife always does the research on where I can go get free food.
Well, you could have gotten a free haircut if you needed one.
I didn't need one. At all the supercuts, the Lottie supercuts is doing free haircuts.
Well, speaking of free, you know what I'm going to do today? It's going to make you mad, and I don't really care. I have three giveaways.
Okay.
For Morons of the Week, all three are going to get prizes this week, but you can only if you served or are currently serving. Since it's Veterans Day,
okay,
you can only play the game.
They're not. People are going to lie.
If you're scummy enough to lie about that,
well
we're going to make you tell us where.
Stolen Valor, bro. It happens all the time.
If you're scummy enough to lie about that to win and take something away from somebody who actually served our country, then you're one of those 5% that I don't want to listen to the show anyway.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Anyway. Suck it, pal.
But yeah, that's what we're going to do for Moron of the Week. I've got an Xbox One WWE 2K16, and I've got two Genghis Grill gift cards, so all three are going to win. There'll be one winner, though, who gets the first choice.
Okay.
But veterans or people who are serving currently only.
All right.
But that won't be until 6:45. So you have to listen to the whole show.
That's unfortunate for them. On today's show.
Yes.
I guess, is this still scheduled for 4:15? They're still good to go? Have we seen these guys, John?
We have not.
Okay.
But I wasn't told any otherwise that they won't be here.
What are you eating in there?
An apple.
Okay.
You want one?
No, I just I don't understand why you don't wait till the break to eat your apple. What if I was going to talk to you? It just seems strange.
Yeah, I took a gamble. There's a 1% chance you would talk to me.
Yeah, and you took a risk and it came up snake eyes on you there.
Yeah, it's kind of like making the pick of A&M versus Auburn.
Yeah.
The number said Auburn wouldn't cover. I was wrong.
Yeah, they did. They did. Well, I'll forgive you for this one time, but it looks like we're going to have at 4:15 Kimbo Slice and Hoist Gracie, who will be taking part in Bellator 149 here in Houston at the Toyota Center on February 19th. Those guys should be in here at some point today to discuss the fights that they've got coming up. Kimbo taking on Dada 5000 or 500, excuse me.
Oh, so he's still only 500.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with Dada 500. I'm going to have to talk to Kim. I think that the whole thing started before Kimbo started doing MMA.
Okay.
And
We are familiar with the other two.
Yeah, Hoist Gracie taking on Ken Shamrock in sort of a, what do they call it, John, when in pro wrestling, when two guys who are like from the last generation, when they fight, what do they call those matches? Do they call it like a legends bout?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to ask what would they call when they're like talking to each other.
What do they call that?
That's called a promo.
Okay. Well, this would be like Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie is like Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan. I mean, these are two of the guys that really put, you know, mixed martial arts on the map. And look forward to talking to Hoist Gracie. We talked to him at the 20th anniversary of the UFC back in, when was that now? Like November of 2 years ago,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's going back.
We were in Vegas for that thing. Got to talk to him there, and really good dude. So looking forward to having both these guys in here to talk.
Yeah, that was a really good interview we did with him last time. So hopefully it'll be fun. And I'm sure they'll be easy to spot wandering around out there. Just guessing.
Yeah.
Just guessing. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You know what? Let's squeeze a phone call in here for a segment. Let's go to Gerard. What's up, Gerard?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to
hey,
you.
What are the odds that Holly Holm takes Ronda Rousey past the first round?
I'll go with about 25%.
Really?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good what are the odds. That's a good way to start the day because if you ask what are the odds she wins, and come on.
No.
But taking her past the first round is a fair question. And, boy, I would put it lower than that. I mean, the way Rousey just destroys people.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
I'm giving her what's called the puncher's chance, Fred.
Okay.
To stay alive for more than 5 minutes.
What are the odds the new Blitz shirts will be out? They're already out. They're at the UT Co-op.
They're out, man. Yeah. Go get them.
Yeah. They basically honor the pepper spray incident. Honor it, but... Okay, here's one for you. What are the odds Cincinnati covers the spread in primetime versus the Texans?
I'll probably be on the Texans.
I think I will be too. And you know what? You'll know about that bet 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Because if the Texans come out.
It's going to take you long to figure out what's going on.
If the Texans come out and play really good aggressive defense and get after Andy Dalton and get him off the field a couple times, they're going to hang around and cover.
Yeah.
If they come out and Dolphin it or Falcon it, then and you'll know because the Bengals will just march down the field the first time they get the ball, or they'll get a turnover and score right off the bat, and the Texans will be down 14-0 before you can breathe, and that game's over. Because they're not a team that shows any ability to play good football when they get in a hole like that right off the bat, and it'll turn into a landslide. But we shall see. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. And sorry, John, I wasn't prepared for that. That's my bad.
So, way to blow it, Fred.
So we'll have to, we'll talk about something else for a minute. How do you think that Texans game is going to go? I mean, we just said we think they'll cover the spread, but.
I think obviously you're going to see heavy doses of passing the football without Arian Foster in there. I think you're going to see a lot more Brian Hoyer, which I know is probably not what everybody wants to hear, but
it's their best chance to win.
I think it's their best chance to win or at least stay competitive with that team. And the Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to go with what they've been doing all year. They're going to count on Andy Dalton, and so far Andy Dalton hasn't let them down.
And a pretty good running game. I mean, they've got a good 1-2 punch there that it hasn't been as good as I thought it was going to be, but they've been pretty effective with that. And they've just got a lot of weapons. And I think you're going to see a lot of Tyler Eifert because I'm guessing Andre Howell's going to be trying to guard him, and that never goes well. Texans have not guarded a tight end well all year. And they play really good defense, too. But I do think you'll see – you're not going to see the Texans that came out against the Titans and got 7 sacks. Because
I would not expect to see that.
This is not the Titans. But I think you will see a better defensive performance, maybe closer to what we saw in Carolina. And I think maybe they keep the game within the number. But I have a hard time believing they're going to go up there and win unless what we saw against the Titans wasn't a total fluke. And I think it kind of was a fluke. But – we shall see. I'm cautiously pessimistic, if that's...
Is that a thing?
I guess it is. I think we'll see a better effort out of the Texans, but I just don't think they're good enough to go on the road and beat that team. And historically, in primetime, they've sucked anyway.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how it plays out. But a lot of time to talk about that. We'll spend a lot of time Monday talking about that. We'll be out of Tupelo's for that.
Certainly will.
It's just one of those days. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Friendly reminder, you can pick up a copy of and an introduction to sports betting blitz style at podcastarena.com for the low price of $12.99. All kinds of great stuff from AJ Hoffman. Some pretty good stuff for me too. And a little under 3 hours, but it's a lot of stuff we've talked about on the show, but it's all in one place. And there's some things we haven't talked about, a lot more details. If you're a beginner who's just interested, it's great. If you're somebody who's been doing it for a while, you're going to pick up some things that you didn't know that will help you, and it's been very well received. I have not gotten around to putting some of the really cool comments that people have said onto the website yet, but we will get to that. But anyway, check it out. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I'm going to grab Kevin real quick since he wants to talk about something we're about to talk about. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going sports, Kevin. What's up?
Hey, fellas, with that Dada 500 and Kimbo Slice, I'm not sure the name of the movie, but you can go to Netflix and search Dada 500, and you'll get the scoop on the situation. It's about the backyard fight, and then this guy here is supposed to fight Kimbo Slice, and they had some situations between them.
Okay. Yeah, Kyle on Twitter told me Dog Fight is the name of this Netflix thing.
Hmm.
I probably won't watch it because I think backyard fighting is stupid, but... maybe there's something to it.
Well,
I shouldn't say that since Kimbo Slice is about to walk in here. But
well, once Kimbo gets here, we'll ask him because I'm interested. But hey, this is kind of how they have to do things to get fights that people will pay attention to. And I think it's I know in some ways they're just it's one of those things we talk about former players where they're just named. But these are names I'm always interested in. And Ken Shamrock can go out there and lose, and I'll still be interested in watching what he does.
I mean, speaking of, you said we have some Ken Shamrock audio, Jong, from he was talking about this fight with Kimbo.
Yes.
What do you got for us?
29-3776 is the telephone number. I'm going to stay with college football.
Okay.
No, we got playoff rankings.
That's somebody else talking about the playoffs. What are you doing in there, Jong?
I don't know what that was.
Oh, boy.
I'm just as much as disappointed as the Kimbo fight as anybody. I literally thought that he was out when I choked him. I thought the fight was over. I literally leaned over to see whether he was still breathing or not. When I did, he popped up. Listen, it happened. But I guarantee you this, I would never, ever throw a fight to Kimbo Slice. Never. It didn't happen. And for those people to say that, say it to my face. I don't care if it's Kenny Florian or anybody else, man. You say it to my face, you know you're going to get something, because I would never do that to anybody else. Never.
Yeah, there was some accusations, I guess, that he let Kimbo win that fight. I'm like him. I thought the fight was over.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock doesn't strike me as a guy who would throw a fight. And to me, there's not enough money being thrown around on these Bellator fights that would make me think that would happen. What else do you have from him, Jong? Oh, Jong has to, like, run across the room in there. It's so
Joe
crazy.
Rogan, I don't know why you said what you said. I don't even know. You haven't even given an explanation for it. But it's wrong. For one, you are on there, and you have people that are supposed to trust in what you're saying. And when you say something that you don't have any proof of, none whatsoever of what you're saying, and then it's going to hurt somebody's credibility, you should be held accountable for that. Don't be hiding behind your mic and then saying things that are not true. I would never lose to him. I don't want to lose to him. But just like anybody else, when you do, you have to swallow the pill and move on. You shouldn't have said that. You were wrong.
Listen, first of all, I don't know what hiding behind a mic means.
It's like this.
That's, Joe Rogan, he made those comments publicly. I mean, it's to me, it's much worse if he was just saying that kind of behind the scenes where Ken Shamrock wouldn't hear about it. You say something into a microphone, you're letting people know what you really think. And Ken Shamrock clearly disagrees with him, and that's fine. But I don't think Joe is, like, trying to be shady about it. It's just his opinion on things.
Where did the dramatic music in the background come from?
I don't know. What
John,
is up with that?
John, no. Do we have some of that? Because I really would like to address some things with that in the background.
It is interesting.
I think it would change.
It does spice things up a little
bit. It would change the dynamic.
Yeah.
I would never, never,
never
dump a fight to Jong Lee. And if AJ Hoffman wants to hide behind a microphone, he can do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, and I think what he means is like doing a kind of like a Skip Bayless kind of thing. Oh, and they're here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to hit the break and then...
Yeah, let's do a quick break.
You want to hit a break, John?
Okay.
And then we'll come back with...
Kimbo Slice and Hoyce Gracie on the other side of the break.
All right, it's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Anyhow.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And A.J., I'll let you take it away here, my man.
All right, let's go to a couple guys who you may have heard of if you're fans of MMA. One of them recently fought against Ken Shamrock. We just heard Ken Shamrock's audio. Kimbo Slice is in studio with us. Kimbo, how are you today, sir?
How's it going, guys?
Doing well. And one of the legends of the game, the great Hoyce Gracie, joins us in studio as well. Hoyce, it's always an honor to have you around, man. Appreciate you guys coming in today. John, can we get Hoyce on mic, my man? Or crank him up? Okay. The reason we've got you guys in, February 19th, they just announced... Bellator will be coming to Houston, Texas, and the tickets go on sale this Saturday. You can get them at Bellator.com or HoustonToyotaCenter.com, or you can go down to the Toyota Center box office or Randall's locations, all the usual places to get your Toyota Center event tickets. Let's start with you, Kimbo. We just heard from Ken Shamrock, and we're playing some of his audio where he was upset at people accusing him of fight fixing. I would say that probably upsets you just as much as it does him, right? Because you're a guy who was in that fight. You earned that win.
I mean, for what it's worth, you're going to have, you know, people who have their own opinion about it, some positive, some negative. And that's just part of the game, you know, I guess.
When you, during that fight, and he talks about how he thought the fight was over, were you ever feeling like, uh-oh, I'm not going to find a way out of this thing?
I mean, when you train hard, you know you're going to be in some tough positions, tough situations. But when you have your mind set to, regardless of anything, tapping out is not an option, then no matter what position you are in, predicament you're in a fight, tapping out is not an option.
Kimbo, by the way, if you haven't noticed, has what he calls a chronic case of the hiccups, which is wildly entertaining to me. Talk about your opponent. How did this come about? How does this fight come into be? I mean,
this fight is very personal to me. My opponent, we're from the same neighborhood, same hometown, went to the same school. Actually, even worked together at one point in time, and you know, I guess. The fact that he saw the love and the respect that I would get and was getting from the fans and everything, you know, it kind of, and then I just left the street fights to turn pro. So he saw an opportunity to grow out his beard, steal my image, steal my everything, my look, tattoos, the whole nine yards, and to try to be me, you know, sound like me, you know, act like me, and to do the street fights. Put everything in a completely wrong way, you know, where, you know, things were illegal and it was just kind of frowned upon from what we've done, what we did. So, you know, and I put work into it. I dedicated myself to transition, turning pro, the respect, the loyalty, the commitment, gaining love and respect from the fans and the people, my family. And for this clown to come in behind that and make a mockery of that type of for what I've done, it just makes this fight really personal to me. You know, so it's just some bad blood here. I train with different intentions. I train with bad intentions. I'm looking forward to really, you know, I'm going to try to hurt this guy, you know, in the worst ways possible. So this is going to be a great fight for real live fight fans. You know what I'm saying?
Now that you've had a chance to actually go to, you know, you've trained with some of the best guys in the world now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've got just a huge advantage over, like if Kimbo Slice now fought Kimbo Slice when you were a street fighter? I mean, you know so much more now than you did then. Do you feel like that's what this fight is like, where this is a mixed martial artist
Kimbo
fighting
Slice
against a
fighter? Now would smash me.
Right.
Kimbo Slice then.
Yeah.
You know, because I am no longer one-dimensional. I have a lot of tools on my belt. I can handle my own now in this game of mixed martial arts. Excuse me about the hiccups, guys.
Oh, I love the hiccups. Hoist. I've heard that this fight is also very personal for you with Ken Shamrock. This is a guy that you guys have the longest fight in UFC history. You guys were in the cage for 36 minutes, beating the hell out of each other, or not, but fighting for 36 minutes. And you guys have fought twice. This will be the third time. Is this a fight that you're excited about?
Oh yes. The first time I beat him in less than a minute.
Right.
Second one, he came in and just hold me down for 30. He didn't came in to fight. He came in to play for the draw. He was happy with the draw. So, but this time we put an end to it.
You haven't fought since 2007. I mean, that is a long time to be away from the game. I assume you're still training jiu-jitsu every day, but how much MMA training, how much striking have you done in the last 8 years?
When you say it, you haven't. It sounds like I'm sitting at home.
No, I just mean
doing nothing.
You haven't fought professionally, is what I mean.
I'm the same weight from the first time that I got in the cage. So I didn't change it, didn't gain weight, didn't lose weight. I'm still working out. Like I put it, I'm going to the range. My drawing is fast. I'm on target. My shooting is good. My equipment's work. Everything's functional. I just have not been in battle.
Okay.
But yes, I am in training.
Well, that what I meant was, because I know a guy like
you.
It
sound like I'm sitting at home.
That's not what I meant. What I meant was, I know that you're training gi jiu-jitsu every day. But have you done the other aspects? Have you done how much Muay Thai have you done? How much wrestling have you practiced over the last 8 years? Is what I meant.
None. Don't need.
Okay.
It's all BJJ.
That's all you need.
I mean, jiu-jitsu that my father created is not for a point system that most people see out there. It's for you to defend yourself in a street fight situation. It's a self-defense art. It's not. So when I teach towards fighting towards MMA, how to defend, how to attack. You see, I don't teach to score points.
Why 8 years and why now? Like, why did you wait so long to come back? Was it for this fight in particular? Were you waiting for this fight to happen? Or were you just waiting for the right fight for you to want to come back and fight?
I was waiting for an offer.
Oh, okay.
Nobody made the offer, so I was like, you know what? Oh, that's fine. I'll just travel the world and go teach.
Dana and those guys don't have you on speed dial, huh? They're not trying to get you in there. So you were just waiting for an offer? This was the offer that came up?
I thought I was over, they pulled me right back in.
Now,
just like Godfather.
One of the guys that I trained with his name's George Patino, and he's from Brazil, and he's getting older now. And he gets fight offers in Brazil all the time because people want to see him fight in Brazil. Did you get offers like that to fight regionally in Brazil that it just wasn't for you?
No, I did not get any offers. Zero.
Wow.
Yep, zero.
That is fascinating. So you just travel the country doing jiu-jitsu, then I get all your schools.
Travel the world.
Travel the world.
So over here, Houston, for instance, is a big hometown for me. I mean, I got a lot of schools over here. So, yep. Urban Jungle is right down the street, mm-hmm. So most likely we'll be training at his place when I come over.
Yeah. Now, with Ken Shamrock, and you just saw the fight that he had with him, what do you see is different about Ken Shamrock from the times that you fought him? Like, obviously, it's been a while, but what do you think, that he's grown as a fighter, or do you think he's kind of past his peak with his style of fighting?
Man, I don't know, but he had a very good strategy when he fought Kimbo. He actually surprised me. He got a good game plan, but he just couldn't finish. And Kimbo, man, Kimbo is a beast, man. The guy's a beast. He did not quit. I thought the fight was over. He did not quit. I take my hats off for that, man. Do not quit. Do not give up. Man, got up, one punch. That's all it takes. I don't want to get hit by him, man. One punch from Kimbo, fight was over. It did not go Ken's way.
What weight will you be fighting at against Kim?
Same weight. What's the
number on the scale for you?
178, 180.
178. And what's the agreed upon weight? Because I know you guys fought at 230 or something like that.
It was a catch weight, but we're heavyweights.
Okay. So what's the expectation for Ken's weight? What do you expect him to have?
There's no weight division.
This is a catchweight fight, whatever the weight.
It doesn't matter how much he weighs.
You are too old school, my man.
It doesn't matter. I don't pick opponents, man.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
That's right.
It's a fight.
That is old school at its finest. That's going back to the early days where weight classes, the time limits, that didn't matter. Are you disappointed you have to have rounds and time limits?
I would prefer without time limit, without rounds, without anything, without gloves.
Right.
Old school.
Oh,
just like
Kimbo
used to do back in the backyard, man. No rules. Men's agreement.
Kimbo, for you to fight here in Houston, this is a do you feel like that you grew an audience, the audience that you grew from your YouTube days, you know, in cities, the bigger cities like Houston, L.A., have you noticed that in those cities people are gravitating to you more? Than
yeah.
they are in different, like the Midwest or places like that?
I mean, yeah, it is. It's a fan-based following. You know, fans will follow you, you know, on not just from fighting, but from movies and anything you do. And you know, once they love you and they like you and they respect you, they're tuned in. They're tuned in on anything you do.
I think about this, and I see you two guys here. And when I was preparing for this interview today, I was thinking to myself, I couldn't have two more different guys from ways that they came into this sport. I mean, you came from beating up guys in the street on YouTube.
Yeah.
You came from you're a very traditional martial artist who, like you said yourself, you don't even train most aspects of MMA. You just believe in your great skill. When you guys sit next to each other, I see that the one common bond is just this love for fighting. Like, when you guys look at each other, do you see, like, how amazing this sport is, that people can come from all over the place and all different backgrounds and come together over this love of organized violence?
Man, it's unbelievable. It's like you said, it's the organized violence.
Yeah.
I like
yep.
that.
But we're martial artists. We train our lives. We're not just, you see, somebody from the street. No, we've been training martial art. So on the end of the day, that for the people that think it's violent, it's a sport.
Of course. Soccer
is the biggest sport in the world. And kids break their legs, their arms. You see, they get hurt, so let's ban soccer. Good luck with that in Brazil, man.
Right.
It's like, hey, it's not going to happen. So But the referee can stop the fight anytime. The judges can stop. I mean, the doctor can stop the fight. The corner men can throw the towel, stop the fight. The fighters can quit anytime they want to. So it's a lot of people involved on controlling
the safety of the fighting game.
Is it more comfortable for you knowing that there's doctors and things like that around? Like, you know, when you're fighting in the street, obviously, if things go ugly, or what would happen in the street if a guy gets knocked out, but then the guy keeps going? You know, like there's
then the
things
fight
like that
will
that
continue.
You know, I mean, like I'm saying, if a guy gets knocked out and the guy who knocked him out keeps hitting him,
well, then hopefully he would have some of his friends there who would, you know, be ready to, hey, look, back up and live. If you know what I mean.
When
it's
you
it's a men's agreement.
It's a respect thing.
Right.
Respect,
when, yeah. When you look back, that's the way that you came up into this sport. Obviously, it was probably your ticket into the game, and obviously your ticket into being such a high profile.
It
fighter.
Became a ticket, but at first it was just more of a. Another way to earn some extra cash.
But looking back, that's the way that you earned cash. Do you think wow, what a crazy thing I was doing back then? Now that you're a professional martial artist.
No, man, I miss it. You kidding
me?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
You think after when you get to be like Hoist and no one's calling you anymore, you're gonna go back to the
just
street
go beat
and
up people? Yeah, yeah, right. You know, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Get back in there.
Hopefully, I can
Curly Larry outside the Piggly Wiggly.
I know, right?
You know,
be the toughest guy at the barbecue. I mean, hopefully I can retire and, you know, do some movies or some commercial and do like Hoist, become a teacher, you know, and give back because I have a lot of knowledge.
Now, this dude, he's got gyms all over the world. This guy's pockets I'm not worried about.
I know, right?
You, in the long term, has fighting done enough for you that you're set, you know, to where you're going to be,
I have
to be
a very,
comfortable?
I have a very smart wife, a smart team. You know, I hate paying my taxes, but I do. So
it's
I try
smart,
to keep my purses.
They come get it anyway.
I know, right? So I try to keep my account at a certain point. I put my kids through school, you know, try not to have no bills, pay off everything, and make some smart investments over the time.
That's good. All right, guys, I'm excited for this fight. It's going to be the most watched fight of the year. Toyota Center is going to be jam-packed. Get your tickets while they last. It's Bellator 149. Got a double main event, Shamrock versus Gracie. Kimbo versus, what are we calling this guy? Dada? Is that what you want to call him?
Call him Clown.
Kimbo versus the Clown. You can follow at Bellator MMA on all your social platforms. Head to Bellator.com for more info. Tickets, of course, like I said, are on sale this Saturday, and they start at just $30. So let's get out and pack the Toyota Center. Get them at Bellator.com or HoustonToyotaCenter.com or at the Toyota Center box office or Houston area Randalls. Guys, appreciate the time that you guys gave us today. Best of luck in the training camp. We'll see you guys in February. I'm looking forward to these fights, guys.
That's what's up. Thanks for having us.
All right, anytime, boys. Thank you.
All right.
We'll be right back after this.
Thank you, guys.
Street knowledge.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in.
All right. Locked.
713-780-ESPN. We'll get back to your phone calls and a lot to follow up with there. But right now it's time for Dr. Vishal Shah.
Dr. Vishal Shah with the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic, part of UT Physicians Group. Doc, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good afternoon.
Tell us what's going on with our man Ben Roethlisberger. He comes off the knee, and then now he's got a foot issue. What exactly is happening here?
Yeah, kind of having a rough start and midpoint of the season here. You know, although the news that's coming back is a very favorable, initially the way the injury looked and the way he had to be carted off the field, it could have been a really bad result. The word is he has a midfoot sprain, which is a variety of the Lisfranc injury that we always hear so much about. And as you know, for some patients, the Lisfranc can be season-ending or even career-threatening, can require surgery and a long time of protected weight-bearing and rehabilitation. What it sounds like happened is with the additional imaging that he had, x-rays and more than likely an MRI, the degree of the sprain was probably a low-degree sprain, which means his foot is still stable. And that's why there's even a chance, they're saying, that he could come back and play as early as this week. It really depends on how fast the swelling goes down and how comfortable he is. Usually they put something firm inside his shoe that would provide kind of a strut or a support and prevent some of the torque and pressure on the bottom of his foot. And that'll allow him to come back, and as soon as he can be effective, you'll probably see him out on the field.
You know, is there a way that he could come back from this thing too early? And if he does, could it turn into a full Lisfranc? Or do they have to wait till he's totally right before he gets back out there?
They must have already proven or been satisfied that there isn't an instability there, which means when he puts pressure on the foot, the different parts of the foot aren't actually moving. The ligaments there can be strained, but they must not be strained enough to allow instability. And so it's unlikely that that can progress, because I'm sure they'll have him in a protective type shoe, which you won't see on the outside, but it actually goes in the sole of the shoe. And so it's unlikely they can make it worse, but there's no question it'll be very sore, probably even during the game and after. And, you know, it'll limit his practice time in between weeks. But, you know, this is one of those things where they'll do what they have to do to get him ready for Sundays. And he's a warrior, and he'll try to tough it out.
All right. That's Dr. Vishal Shah with the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic, part of the UT Physicians Group. Appreciate the time, Doc. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Yeah. And if you're beat up, you've injured yourselves, you need to know about those guys over at Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive, just like our man, Dr. Shah. And they're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've developed systems to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal, which is important if you're going to the doctor very often. They've got three easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. And they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com, where you'll learn more about the doctors, can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715, for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Back to you, Fred.
All right. So, John, am I supposed to do this now? Okay, we'll just keep going.
Just
cool.
Start up the segment.
Yeah, we're a little off clock now because of the interview. So, hey, it was worth it. I was going to ask, and I didn't, but it just seems like, well, two things. I can't believe nobody's wanted him to fight for this long.
That's surprising.
He's a name, and he's a guy who would draw. And the other thing that I found interesting is he sure sounds like the same guy who was out there fighting Art Jimmerson with one glove in his first fight.
No.
He's going to do things the same way. And that's interesting. I'm kind of excited to see him back in the excited to see him fight again.
Yeah. It's, you know, when you talk about a guy that's that age, 48 years old, I mean, it's you think, oh, well, this guy can't be in his prime. And I don't know that this is one of those times that it matters. I mean, when you're talking about guys fighting in the UFC, fighting at the highest level, I think if you told me that somebody was going to have it, who hasn't fought in 8 years is just going to show up at 48 years old and fight, I'd say, I don't think that's a great idea. But I think this is about the matchup, about Ken Shamrock versus Royce Gracie. That's what makes it interesting. And Bellator's figured out a way to make this fight relevant.
And Kimbo's always a draw, too. So
of course.
It'll be an interesting card. All right, we'll get it reset here. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, so if you want to get in, lots to get to. And we can get back to football. We can talk Texans. We can talk college football. We can talk little Rockets who play tonight. I'm actually going to the Rockets game tonight.
Are you
after
really?
The show. Yes, we did that Rockets run on Sunday, and you get to pick tickets to one game. So we chose tonight.
Okay.
Because one of the other options was Monday night, and I kind of want to watch football Monday night.
Yeah.
So heading over there after this. And, it's an interesting time for the Rockets. They seem to be getting their act together. I don't know if you saw what Daryl Morey said about the Warriors, though, earlier this week, that he thinks they're an all-time great team. And said they were not lucky to win the title. They were the best team last year. They're the best team this year so far. They're just an unbelievable team. Obviously, you can always point to any champion and say, maybe this could have gone different or that could have gone different. This Golden State team is special. I think it's going to go down as one of the all-time teams. We're hoping to take them down this year, but you got to look. They beat us 9 out of 10. They've got our number. We got to figure out how to beat them. Now you probably don't disagree with them.
I don't disagree with them. I do think that team, I said it last year, I think that team was special, and that – you know, I accepted myself that I was going to lose my Cavs bet. That's how good I thought the Warriors were. And they don't seem, at least to this point, they don't seem to have lost a step.
No, so. And if they keep going at this rate, they're going to threaten the damn Bulls record.
Yeah.
But I do think it's hard to stay at that pace for that long. And we'll see. If somebody gets hurt, if Steph Curry goes out for a while, which at some point is going to happen. But if they're healthy, and I think you say that about anybody, say if the Cavs are healthy. You know, but if they're healthy all year, they're going to be tough to beat by anybody. And yeah, I think the Spurs are still figuring it out, and they'll get better. But if the Warriors keep playing like they're playing, it really doesn't matter how good the Spurs get. Let's squeeze on Eric real quick. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up?
Sports.
Hey, I was just wondering, man, with all the injuries going on in the NFL, what are the chances of somebody picking up Tim Tebow?
Well, come 0%. On. Banned. All right. Make sure that if Eric ever calls back, he doesn't get on again. All right. Time to reiterate. Here's your ban list. Tim Tebow, Vince Young, Case Keenum.
Yeah.
All right?
All discussion off the table.
So if you want to play one of the odds, that's fine. But those are not things that are even up for debate. All right, Charles will save us. Charles usually has good calls if it's the Charles I'm thinking of. What's up, Charles? Hello, Charles. Go, Charles.
Hello.
Yep, you're on.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What's up?
Yeah, I had a question about college football. If Clemson, Alabama, Baylor, and Notre Dame wins out, Notre Dame beats Stanford, if Stanford loses to Utah in a Pac-12 championship, what are the odds that a Pac-12 and a Big 12 gets left out?
I mean, it's entirely possible that two of them are going to get left out.
If those four teams you mentioned went out, Pac-12's left out.
Yeah.
If Baylor wins out, that means they've beaten Okie State, Oklahoma, TCU. That's good enough, an unbeaten Baylor. Alabama, if they went out, they're in. Clemson, they went out, they're in. What was the other one? It was Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it plays out just like that, that's your four. There will not be a Pac-12 team in there. I don't think a one-loss Utah gets in. Certainly not over a one-loss Notre Dame, and not over an unbeaten Baylor. Just don't see it happening.
I'm with you.
Let's try one more. Brian on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What's up, Brian? Go, Brian.
Sports, guys.
Sports, Brian.
Hey, what are the odds that the Aggies might wind up with their season kind of going down the tank facing UT in one of the minor bowls?
I mean, I think that's more on will Texas make a bowl game, which at this point I think the answer is probably no.
Yeah, so, I don't think Texas is going to qualify, frankly.
I think they're I'd give them about 20%, maybe less than that, of a chance to win two of their last three games.
And so. the other thing is A&M would really have to collapse down the stretch, which I'm not ruling out the way they're playing offense right now, to fall to a bowl where they would play a 6-6 team.
Yeah.
So I would say it's less than
Texas isn't making the Chicken Bowl this year, guys.
Yeah.
They're not on that Chicken Bowl level.
Yeah, that's not happening.